Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Omens. When we think of an omen, quite often we think of the movie, because obviously that's what will naturally come to mind if you're a fan of horror. However, omens don't always come in such, I guess, dark, demonic, evil forms or foreboding settings. Sometimes they're just when you least expect them. And sometimes you really got to look into that omen, especially when it's telling you to listen and not run away from it, because it may have some information that's going to be valuable to you. In our next story, we hear about a family that lives in a house, farmhouse in the country. Things are kind of normal. There's stuff that goes on. The animals certainly sense it. And one day they get a phone call. Or something comes through their phone system, I think, is probably the more applicable way of describing what occurred. With a warning. A demand to be heard. Did they listen? That is the question. That's what we find out. Take a listen. It was the summer of 1990. We had just rebuilt on the foundation of our former home that had gone up in flames a year and a half earlier. The new house was modular that barely fit on the original foundation. At the time of assembly, our modular drew a crowd of interested onlookers. I think part of it was just to watch the puzzle pieces being lifted into place by a giant crane, and the other part was curiosity. Why was my family stupid enough to rebuild in a place where two houses and a whole farm complex had all ended up in ashes? It made no sense to me either. I hated the property and was sure there was evil associated with it. Anyway, the basement was the same as our old basement and smelled vaguely of smoke despite all of the new carpeting and paint. The first floor had a dining room and sitting room right off the main entrance with a TV room, breakfast nook, and kitchen at the back of the house. The top level had four bedrooms. We lived in the middle of nowhere, really. We had a handful of neighbors on the other side of the road, but on our side, we were almost surrounded by open fields that stretched all the way back to a creek at the base of a mountain. My bedroom happened to overlook the field and mountain. I was also able to see most of the path that went from our property down to the creek. The path had an upper and lower portion of it. The low path was out of sight and followed the creek for a while before meeting up with the top path at the small cluster of pine trees that I called the island. The upper and lower paths converged at the island and followed a singular path back up through the field to our fence line. Our fence was a 6-foot-tall chain-link fence that enclosed almost a full acre of land for our outside dogs to run in while they weren't in their kennels. One day I was in my room reading when I looked out and saw our house dog, a German Shepherd, in the field taking off down the path to the creek. Only my mom and I were at home at the time, and I went looking for my mom to tell her the dog was on the other side of the fence. Pretty sure the three other dogs were still kenneled, though. I combed the entire house from top to basement, calling for her with no answer. No mom, no German Shepherd. The other three were still kenneled. I assumed that mom had gone out with the house dog for a walk down to the creek. Thinking I'd have some fun, I decided to follow them and scare them on the island. I sprinted across our backyard, out the gate, and trotted down the path ahead of me. On the lower path, I could hear the familiar sound of the dog sticking his head into the underbrush on the edges of the path. I slowed down and followed them for quite some time before becoming aware of some weird shift of movement. I was no longer following the sounds. The sounds were now following me. On the island, I stopped dead in my tracks. There was a sudden silence followed by a deep, throaty roar. It felt like someone had just dumped ice water over my body. The cold numbness of the initial shock turned into a sweat, and it wasn't a stretch to believe we had a mountain lion down there or even a black bear. Everything I'd been told about wildlife was to remain calm and still. Running would just trigger their prey drive and I'd be dead. Well, fuck that. I took off up the path. I was shrieking the whole way. I heard some thrashing behind me and was fully expecting the feel of claws in my back at any moment. But there I was, screaming at the top of my lungs as I partially ran, partially stumbled my way home. I got to the fence after an eternity of running and vaulted it faster than I thought possible. I went screaming into the house and slammed the door behind me. My mom poked her head around the corner from the kitchen and asked, "What the hell is wrong with you?" A bit confused, I barely had enough breath to ask how she made it home before me. That's when my mom told me she had no idea what I was talking about. She never left. After a few minutes and my heart stopped trying to escape my chest, I told her I'd seen the dog in the field and couldn't find her, so I went to follow them. My mom told me she and the dog had been in the kitchen the whole time. Neither one of them heard me calling. The dog never even lifted his head until I slammed the door. They never even saw me come down once looking for them. We couldn't figure out what had happened. My family did call some hunting buddies to track down whatever it was I encountered in the back, but no one found a single print or any other evidence that a big predator was lurking in the back field or on the mountain. No clue what was down there. Didn't care, though. Wasn't going back down there again. That was not the first time we had an occurrence in this area. Same house, same area, same dog. My mom and I had been hanging out together in the kitchen while the dog slept in the TV room. The dog woke up out of a sound, paw-twitching sleep and looked down the hallway. Mom called him over to us, but he just kept staring down the hallway towards the front door. We both thought that someone was at the door. No knocking, though, and no sound of footsteps. It was just the dog lying there with his head cocked to the side like he was listening to something. We watched him get up and follow whatever it was down the hallway and into the entrance of the dining room. Halfway into the dining room, he stopped and backed out. He turned his head to the side as if someone brushed past him. We watched him walk back up the hallway past us and follow the invisible thing through the kitchen and to the back entrance of the dining room. My mom and I remained silent the whole time. We watched wide-eyed as the dog sat down and cocked his head to the side again, still listening. He then got up and slunk back to his place in the TV room, where he laid down and went back to sleep. Mom and I hadn't seen anything like it before then. Our dog repeated the same behavior a couple of times after that and freaked us out whenever he did it. The outside dogs wouldn't even set paw in the house. We tried a few times to bribe them, but as soon as we'd pull one in, they'd do an immediate U-turn and head back out. They'd run over us to get out of the house if they had to. No amount of deli meat could lure them inside for anything, and this was something that started with them prior to our old house burning down. Our house dog, Red, was acquired as a puppy and raised in the rental home before the new house was built and we moved back in. We always wondered if Red would suddenly refuse to enter the house at some point in time, too, but we moved out a couple of years later. Why the dog stopped coming inside? I think it was the phone call. The summer before our house burned down seemed normal. Our three Malamutes, all of whom were raised inside the house, were invited in for bedtime treats before we kenneled them for the evening. This was a nightly ritual, right up until we got the phone call. After that, the Malamutes would just stop just outside of the door. They would look inside very suspiciously. Even after the house was rebuilt, they kept a healthy distance. The phone call came unexpectedly one day. I can't even really call it a phone call. My mom had been painting her bedroom across the hallway, and I was in my room. It was the middle of a bright summer day. My stepfather was in the basement watching the Yankees. We had a cordless phone back then, the kind with an intercom in the base, that he'd take the phone down with him to the basement to use if someone needed something. He could page us or we could page him. My mom and I were talking to each other from across the hallway when we heard breathing and whistling coming through the intercom. We both went out. I expected my stepfather to ask for a beer. The whistling continued, though, and we called down the stairs to see what he wanted. The paging system was not working. No reply. But a minute later, my stepfather came walking up the stairs, asking why we kept paging him. The pager seemed stuck on his end and was letting out a high-pitched squeal. As he reached the top of the stairs, a woman's voice came over the intercom. It's a voice we didn't recognize. She was pleading with us to listen to her. "It's important," she repeated. "I have something important to tell you. You must listen to me. It is important." My mom, stepfather, and I looked at each other, and my father picked up the bass and unplugged the phone line. However, the voice kept repeating. He then unplugged the bass at the outlet, and the voice remained for a few seconds longer before fading off. As soon as the voice stopped, my stepfather plugged in the bass and phone line. And nothing. The voice didn't come back. The Malamutes wouldn't enter the house after that. I also started having dreams where the house was gone. When we returned home at night, I was relieved to see it still standing. The day the house burned down, though, I'd been getting ready for school. It was winter, and I was bundled up. Then I thought, if something happened, what would I save? The thought persisted until I ran back into the house from the bus stop and grabbed my favorite leather jacket. That day was supposed to be chemistry and history midterm tests, and I was nearly finished with chemistry when I was pulled from class. The principal sat me down and told me that they had received a phone call from my family members about a fire at my house and that they didn't know specifics, but my grandfather was coming to get me. We got to my house, and it was gone. The Malamutes had been unkenneled and taken to the neighbor's house. Thankfully, they were safe, but after all the chaos, we watched our own house collapse in on itself. And at the very center of the smoldering pit, after all the firemen had gone and we were alone, we heard the phone off the hook. The house was gone, incinerated, melted, but our phone was still beeping off the hook from the basement. That freaked us out. We looked at each other, and I mentioned the phone call from the previous summer. My mom told me not to talk about it. Well, that's part of the story anyway. I could write a book about the bizarre stuff that happened here. Plus some. Maybe I'll lighten you at some point. Thanks for the show.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.